on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is September 22nd, 2015, and I appreciate you being with me. We're dedicated to help you become a better investor, to make decisions based on knowledge and not emotion, using reason and common sense. This is a forum where we can exchange some ideas and try to keep you current on the financial news and information, and make sure we try to wring out the emotion in our decision making. Market's been pretty, this whole year has been pretty weak, and we are now in the midst of a correction. And I think you by now know that we expected this and we've been mourning about this, and we're still in that correction mode. Don't think we're through it yet. We're not. And, they take time. A normal correction does. We haven't seen too many normal corrections. Last one really normal, I guess you could call last October normal. That was about 9.5% to 10%. And that's just right there on the edge of normalcy. But the real normal correction we had was probably in summer 2011 when the market went down about 19%. Between 10 and 20% is normal. And they take time to work themselves out. And that's if it's a correction and not a bear market, because every correction can turn into a bear market. It's a 50-50 coin toss. If a market goes down 10% or more, between 10 and 20%, it's a coin toss that'll go down another 10%. So you just never, ever know. So we want to help you with this. Your questions help drive our discussion. You can ask them through our 24-hour listener line. If you call between 4 and 5 Pacific time, we can talk directly, Monday through Friday. We can also answer questions via email. And naturally, everybody's looking for the next big winner. I am. Everybody's doing that. And for the first step for professional investors is to analyze the risks involved, understand the volatility, the risk profile of the asset, and determine its appropriateness. Extensive risk versus reward scenarios are calculated and viewed within the context of an entire portfolio, not just by itself. You don't go out there and just pick this stock and then I'll pick that stock and in a vacuum, one at a time. You have to use some kind of context with the risk profile of the portfolio that you want. Do you want a growth profile? You want a portfolio? You want a value? Do you want some income from it? What, all those things need to be considered, and whether or not a particular asset is appropriate in the already existing portfolio. Do I want to add this asset? Does it enhance my potential? Now, unfortunately, the average investors don't do this. Typically, those who make their own investment build a portfolio position slowly over time, one at a time, but they don't necessarily consider the impact of the overall portfolio. And then what happens is the portfolio gets out of whack with risks, how much risk they're taking. They lose control, lose sight of that risk. Or they just build a portfolio and it becomes very, very monolithic of just one sector, because that's what they love right now, or a certain type of investment instead of a good balanced portfolio. Anyway, so I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to try to help you with that. One way to do that, of course, is to take a look at the portfolio you already have, but also just to continue to learn how to do this, because it's not. It seems very simple being a stock market investor when the entire stock market's going up. Then it's simple. Everybody's a genius because the market's going up. And we've had that for years now since the 2008, 2009 bottom of the market and the recovery in the economy, that everything's gone up except until this year. Now it's not so easy. So it's difficult. It's not an easy task when the market is not going up. Markets don't go up in one direction, up or down. Anyways, I thank you for connecting with me this 1 hour every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Do you have questions or comments about any money matter? Let's talk about it. You can get through right now at 888-99-CHART, and you can call me anytime you want. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I'm calling to say I really enjoy your show and wanted to ask Steve his opinion on commercial mortgage bridge loans advertised as earning 6%, and was wondering what the pros and cons are of this type of investment. Would you recommend something like this? Thank you for your thoughts.
Okay, a bridge loan, everybody, is usually, you know, when you're built, let's say a builder is now under construction building an apartment complex, okay? He takes a construction loan out when that happens, okay? So that construction loan allows him to build, okay? But he has to pay, now turn sometimes, at some point he's got to turn that construction loan into some type of mortgage loan. Well, many times there's problems that construction loan is due on a certain date, you know, a two-year period or whatever it is, and the builder of the project is supposed to pay the bank back the construction loan. But maybe he's not finished yet, or something's delaying occupancy, or some, you know, whatever, or the tenants aren't coming yet, and he can't get a mortgage. What he would then apply for is a bridge loan. Usually a bridge loan is more expensive. It's expensive because the banks see that as a risk. Okay? So you're talking about, her question is about those bridge loans. And they're usually short term in nature, a year, you know, short term. And should she invest in bridge loans? And somebody that does bridge loans, some financial institution that does bridge loans. And my answer is there's nothing wrong with bridge loans. They're very common. But the average person has no idea how this works. They don't understand the default rates. They don't understand the risk they're taking or the equity backing up the loan, the collateral. All these things come in, you know, the risk of making that loan. One of the reasons why it is a higher interest rate that you're getting for the loan is because of the risk involved. So what happens if they don't pay that loan? What position are you in? You're probably in a second position now to other lenders. Are you in first position for the ownership of the property? Then if you have to take ownership of the property, what are you going to do with it? Do you know anything about running that? This is a complex field and should be left to the experts. Now, should you put money in the experts so that they can loan your money? And then that gets also complex, but now you're investing in the experts to do it. It's a complex issue, and I think that you need an attorney specialized in this area to be involved with the decision, because it's all about contracts. Most people are, you know, we don't have a background in contracts. I've read many, many contracts, and they get very convoluted. So it's not something I would just recommend for the average investor. The answer would be no. But that doesn't mean they are not a good way to make money, because they are. You just have to know what you're doing. So be very, very careful. Okay? Passive investing can be profitable, but there's a time to get active. Should you be an active or passive investor? And first of all, do you know what the difference are between those two? So we'll explain that. And well, as I said earlier, I didn't mean to step on this topic, but as I said earlier, when the market goes up and has for several years in a row, everybody becomes an expert and everybody becomes a passive investor, because they say, why pay someone like me when the market goes up and most investment managers underperform the market, which is true. See, an active manager becomes much more valuable when the market goes in two directions. Okay, so that's going to be one of our main talking points today. I want to discuss that. Then existing home sales that were reported out yesterday, I want to discuss that. Tax loss selling could be a real problem this year. Why? Tax loss selling happens every year. But this year, it could be a bigger problem than it has been in previous years. When I say a bigger problem, I mean for the overall market. And one of the reasons is because we've had a pretty poor market. So we'll discuss that. And how about, remember, everybody remembers the BRICS, right? That was Brazil, Russia, India, China. Okay, how about the PIGS? Remember the PIGS? Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, Spain. Is it time to buy the PIGS? We'll discuss that. And Apple Car, coming in 2019. Apple Car. When I say Apple, I mean Apple Computer, Apple Corporation, building a car, an all-electric car. See, Tesla is going to attract a lot of competition, but it's a very difficult field to get into. There's a high barrier of entry into this area. And Tesla is finding that to be so, too, because they're still not making money, and they've been burning money like crazy, and they're selling great. But they've only just scratched the surface of the car market. But how about Apple? Could they break into this? There's some things going on I want to share about them moving in this direction. I don't think they've made a commitment, but they are moving in the direction, and I want to talk about that. Those are the things that are on my mind. But, of course, what's on your mind is much, much, much more important than what's on my mind. The market was down today. The Dow down 180. The NASDAQ down 72. And the S&P down 24. And you saw it choppy yesterday. So the market is still, you know, it had a deep correction. When I say deep, very fast. Remember, it was 4 or 5 days in August. Boom, 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 boom. Down like 13, 14% from the high. Okay. Then it came back about half of that. This is very, very common, and we've expressed that on the show. And now it's hit resistance, and now it seems to be stuttering, maybe heading back down to retest those lows. And, you know, we mentioned on the show that we're probably going to have a retest of those lows, and you kind of want to relax, not necessarily jumping in the market. And you've heard me on people calling up, should I buy this now? And say, well, you know, it's a good company, a good look, like a good place. A good price, but maybe you should just wait a couple of weeks and see how the market treats you, see what the market's doing. Because no matter what, you know, there's that old saying, a rising tide floats all ships up. Well, a sinking tide makes them fall. So no matter how good the stock you have bought, if the whole market's going down, it's going down too. Maybe not as much, but it's going down too. So I just don't think it's a good time to get too anxious about buying yet. The market has a habit over long periods of hitting a low in October. So here we are in September, late September, I mean 22nd. I want to see if the market, there are times when the market just continues to fall. 2008. The market just continued to fall all the way through October, November, December, January, February, and finally ended up bottoming in March. And that was a 40% fall. I'm not predicting a 40% fall. I can't predict any of that stuff. But what I am saying is, it's not uncommon for the market to hit a bottom in October and then have a rally. How strong it's up, you know, it's who knows. But it can happen to be weak all through the month. So we just need to be calm and be ready just to watch. Let's observe for right now. You can sure buy stuff, but just make sure when you do buy that it's with a longer time frame in mind. Okay? Because there are bargains out there. There are some stocks that look pretty attractive. It's time to review your retirement portfolio, everybody. Your mix of funds, what's in it. Are you on a path to reach your retirement goals? I'm happy to meet with a limited number of people and listeners anytime. Tomorrow, September 23rd, I'll be in Dana Point in the office in Orange County. I'll also be in Portland for a very limited schedule on this Friday, September 25th. And then at San Ramon on September 30th. Now, if you'd like to schedule a retirement portfolio review with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. Schedule a meeting. 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. We're glad you're here for our show. We have a quiz. What investing option allows you to make the most money? Bonds, savings bonds, stocks, mutual funds, money market. corporate bonds, municipal bonds. I'll have the answer for you coming up. If you need answers to any money questions, I'm here for you. You can give me a call. So what investing option allows you to make the most money over time? Corporate bonds, savings bonds, government bonds, stocks, mutual funds, money market, gold. Which ones? If you have the answer, give me a call. This is the Best Talk, and our number is 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on Invest Talk. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. In addition to traditional open-ended mutual funds, investors are also turning toward closed-end funds, CEFs, and exchange-traded funds, ETFs, to generate yield. CEFs versus ETFs, that's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then. And remember, we're live 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Sean in New York. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. I want to ask today about AutoZone, AZO, and see what you think.
I like AutoZone. AutoZone, Inc. out of Memphis, Tennessee, operates 5,000, or close enough to 5,000 retail auto parts store in U.S., Mexico, Puerto Rico, Brazil, offering automotive parts and accessories. It's going to repurchase, announced repurchasing about 750 million common stocks back, so it's buying some stock. And the reason why I like AutoZone is because it's consistent. It's been growing in the high single digits in sales for 2 years every quarter. It also grows its earnings by about 12% this year and another 12% next year. Very, very consistent. It's going to make $45.09 a share next year. It's a $728 stock. Now, people are going to say, Sean, oh, that's an expensive stock. Well, if you look at the P.E. ratio of $45 a share, you know, at 20, that would be $900. Right now, it is a 20 P.E. based on last year's earnings of 36. So, you know, it has some potential to keep going up. Doesn't mean it's cheap, Sean, but it doesn't mean it's not overpriced. I think it's fairly priced with potential to go up, and I kind of like it. And it's a strong chart. You might want to wait for weakness to buy it, but you wouldn't hurt my feelings if you wanted to buy it today either. Okay?
So in general, buying stocks back by a company, is a good sign or a bad sign?
That's a good sign. What it does is it reduces the number of shares outstanding. Therefore, the earnings per share goes up faster. So that's why it can only be growing sales at 8-9% per quarter, and yet it can grow its earnings by 12%. Well, because there's less shares on an earnings per share basis to split the sales. You know what I mean? So so that's why it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call. Now, of course, we are in the midst of correction, and AutoZone's held up very well. I mean, it really has held up very well during this correction. Take a look at a chart. It looks pretty strong. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, should you be a passive investor or an active investor? I would say for many, many, many people, especially in their 401ks, should be passive. That means don't hire somebody. Because you can't really help you too much in your 401k anyways. You're limited to a certain number of shares. You just keep buying more, stay in the index, and you'll be fine. The time right now, since 2009 up until this year, the market has pretty much went up in one direction. Yeah, it had a couple of years in there that was kind of weak, but they're always up, a little bit up. And we've had some pretty big, one big correction in 2011, almost 20%, but not that was it. But when the market does that, everybody falls in love, just like they fell in love with the dot-com stocks. Everybody falls in love with now an old method of investing. It's been around forever. Passive investing. You buy mutual funds, buy an index, and just leave it alone. And you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. As long as you can leave it alone for years. Not 2 years, not 5 years, not even 10. I'm talking 20 years. Can you leave it alone for 20 years? If you can, then you'll do very well. But if you did this in 2000, by 2010, that was 10 years, you still were behind, not making money. Now, from 2000 today, here it is, 15 years later, yeah, now you're up. You're up nicely now. You see what I mean by long-term passive investing works fine. There's two problems with passive investing. One is a lot of people don't have that many years for the wait for the market to recoup. They start needing the money. They need to start withdrawing the money. So they have to be a little bit more careful with the money. Two, most people that I know can't handle it when it goes down 30, 40, 50%. They could get out right at the bottom. And see, there is when you need active investing, someone to tell you, hey, no, this is not the right thing. This is what you should do. This is how, this is why this is doing, to help you, understand what's going on and help you get through these hard times, or to protect you against these hard times in some way. Yes, on the upside, they may not perform as well, but maybe they'll protect you on the downside. And for a lot of us out there, I include myself, by the way, I don't want to lose 30, 40, 50% of my portfolio. I don't want to lose that. I'd rather give up a little bit on the upside if I can protect more on the downside. And so you have to decide what kind of investor you want to be. And if you decide to be a passive investor, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Just live through the downstrokes and understand that it's a long-term situation, very long-term. This is InvestTalk. Thanks for investing this hour with me. I appreciate it. Our question earlier, what investing option allows you to make the most money? Most money. Stocks. You can do it through mutual funds, too, but as long as it's stocks mutual funds. I'm ready for your quiz question if you have one. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. (888) 992-4278. Our job number one on InvestTalk is always answering your questions. Our 24-hour listener line is open all the time for anything, any kind of financial questions. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Jim in Atlanta. I'm a podcast listener. Very, very much appreciate the knowledge you share. I was wondering if you could give your insight on Seagate STX, watching that stock fall in price. It looks like a screaming buy to me, but an amateur here is going to get a professional's opinion on it. And if you like it, what would be an entry price for Seagate? Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Okay, Seagate STX, manufactured hard disk drives for the enterprise, desktop, mobile computing, consumer electronics markets. Western Digital, Seagate are big competitors. It's a $13 billion company. They do about $3 billion a quarter. The problem you have with Seagate is sales. Sales have been falling for about 2 years now, with a couple of quarters in there where it went up. But recent quarter was down 11% sales. And they're having a heck of a time. They're going to make $4.42 a share this year. That's 3% less than last year. And next year they're supposed to rebound by 14%, okay, to 503. And the P.E. ratio is not high at 10, but the five-year range of the P.E. ratio is 3 to 15. Okay, so it can go much lower. Good, very good return on equity at 52%. Good cash flow. they have a bit of debt that's a little worrisome, and I would make sure to check that out. Dividends 4.9%, which is very good also. I think you need to be careful because a chart is telling me this stock is falling pretty hard. It's breaking. It broke support it made back in July. It's now on a new low, 52-week low. I think you got to wait. You got to wait till it turns sideways and shows you some strength. I would not buy it yet. Nothing wrong with the company. It's a good, solid company. I would like to see them turn the sales around and find out when that might happen, find out what's going on with them. They have, you know, they have good things going on, but sales are a little weak. Therefore, I could see the stock going down more. I think you need to be patient. Just wait till it goes down, trade sideways for a couple of weeks at least, and start back up before you buy it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Housing sales. Existing home sales dropped for the first time in 4 months as prices climb. So you look at that headline, you go, uh-oh, first time in 4 months. Now, 1 month does not mean a trend, so don't get too excited about it. Existing home sales dropped 4.8% to an annual rate of 5.3 million houses from 5.5 or almost 5.6. Okay. Sales hit a post-recession high in July, and we're talking about the August report here. So this still is fairly strong. Over the last 12 months, sales have gone up 6.2% from a year ago. So it's pretty decent. And despite this problem, the outlook for sales really kind of remains pretty bright. One of the reasons that the sales are having trouble is because of inventory, lack of inventory. I mean, real estate agents are pretty darn busy. My brother-in-laws, who are real estate appraisers, are pretty busy. Not swamped, but busy. And we are not near pre-recession levels. We're not there. That probably won't return there either, not anytime soon. But there is pretty tight inventory, so it's slowing down sales. Now, it might be that that buyers are saying the prices are getting a little steep and may want to back off a little bit, so we may have some weaker prices going forward, but we'll see. First-time buyers accounted for 32% of sales in August. That's a sharp increase from the prior month. Okay, so by the way, just so you know, first-time buyers account for 40% of existing home sales in general. Investors represent 12% of sales last month, and that's down from the post-recession high of about 25%. And distressed properties were just 7% of the total. And that tells you that's a number which is normalish, normal. So the housing market looks pretty decent. And since the Fed didn't raise rates recently, I don't see rates going up anytime soon. I don't see that happening. So mortgage rates I am talking about. So not too bad of a report. 888-99-CHART. If you're looking for a way to keep up or even get ahead of the pack, become an InvestTalk Insider. It's your key to loads of free information. We have, you know, info sheets, information sheets on charting to life insurance to Social Security. You name it, there's a bunch of topics there. You also have access to informative webinars like Doing Dividends Right. It's free. Just sign up now at investtalk.com.
Each month, Steve meets with a limited number of InvestTalk listeners for informal retirement reviews on a first-come, first-served basis. The next date is at our home office in Dana Point in Orange County on September 23rd. That would be tomorrow. He'll be in Portland, Oregon on the 25th for a limited schedule. Then it's off to San Ramon on September 30th. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Schedule a Meeting. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
Hi, Stephen Justin. This is Pete from sunny Vegas. Got a question for you guys. I heard of a new investment. Maybe it's not new, but it's new to me. It's called a Unit Investment Trust. Now, let me kind of give you a little bit of background on myself. I have a regular brokerage and an IRA with Scottrade. So although I can call them up, I don't want to sound like I'm totally ignorant. I have no idea what a unit investment trust is. I'm not looking for a specific recommendation. I'm just trying to understand the concept, and is it sold through normal brokerages, you know, kind of like with a regular commission or something else? Love the show. Take care, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
UITs, Unit Investment Trust, they were popular in the 90s. And what they really are, think of it this way. Think of an ETF, exchange-traded fund, that has an expiration date. So you buy a unit investment trust, and inside that unit investment trust is a groupings of stocks. They could be healthcare companies. They could be big blue chip dividend paying companies, oil companies. It's a unit of a number of stocks, and that price is based on the value of the stocks inside the unit. And that unit investment trust may expire in 5 years. So 5 years, you can cash it in, or you get the amount of shares in each of the categories. Depends on how it's structured. So it's just really a vehicle to buy a grouping of stocks that you're interested in. And just like ETFs, they used to have a lot of those unit investment trusts, and people would buy them. And many of them were closed in, meaning there were a finite number of shares, so they could sell at a discount or a premium, like a closed-in ETF. And so that's how it kind of worked. Okay, unit investment trusts. Good call. Thank you. Let's talk to Judy in San Jose. How are you, Judy?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on this mutual fund? The symbol is OUSA.
OUSA. A is an apple?
Yes.
Is that O-Shares? O-Shares, FTS, U.S. Quality Dividend Paying Exchange. That's not a mutual fund. That's an exchange-traded fund seeking the investment results of corresponding to the FTSU Qualified Volume Yield Factor 5% Capped Index. So it's kind of a specialty kind of ETF. And I don't have a lot of information on it, but I do know it pays a small dividend, 1.2%. So it is a investment, exchange-traded fund investing in a specific field that has that is tracking an index. And Judy, I'm sorry, I just don't have a lot of information on it on my system here. So it's kind of a specialty kind of fund. So if you email me, ask me the question to email, I'll look it up and give you more specifics on it, and I'll email you back.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Judy. I just don't have all the information on 100% of everything in front of me. It just doesn't happen, and this is one of those situations where it's going to take me a little bit longer to look it up. And time for InvestTalk 101. What's the basic definition of value? Value. The value of any financial asset is present value of future cash flow. The value of any financial asset is present value of future cash flow. Now, I know that sounds like double talk, but the concept is pretty basic, but not necessarily simple. It can be complex. There are two components, present value and future cash flow. Okay, so let's break that down. Present value is the simpler of the two components, and it requires only one input, and that's interest rates. Usually, it's based on the 10-year U.S. Treasury because there's no risk in a 10-year Treasury. So you say, well, since it's a risk-free rate, since you would be able to earn that rate without taking any risk whatsoever and get your money back. So the higher this rate is, the less attractive other investments will be, all else being equal, since you could earn a high rate with little risk. Today it's not so high. So when the rate is low, then all other assets look better, more attractive. Okay? And that's one of the things why the Federal Reserve lowers and increase rates. Well, they want to push you out of treasuries and go invest the money in something else. Go buy, invest in a factory. Go buy, build a building. Go buy stocks. Now, future cash flow is more complex because it's all about a projection or a guess. And maybe an educated guess, but it's still a guess. When it comes to simple fixed income instruments, it's easier to project cash flows, right? You know what the yield is going to give you. But what if we're talking about stocks? Now you got to factor in a risk situation. Okay, and so this is one of the reasons why when you're looking at stocks, you want to compare it with riskless investments such as the 10-year treasury, because you want a much better a return because you're taking a much higher risk. And of course, the lower the 10-year treasury yield is, the lower the return on a stock is acceptable. This is getting complex, isn't it? It is not a simple thing. But if you can understand these two things, and that is present value, which is related to free risk return on an investment, called usually a 10-year treasury. You can use other benchmarks. Present value of that, and then the future cash flow from that, and relate that to a riskier asset such as a stock. And if you can get 10% on a 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, why would you invest in a stock market that's giving you 10%? Because one's no risk, the other one has lots of risk. So that drives money to the less risky asset and away from stocks and other risky assets. Just think of it this way. Everybody is competing for that money. Every asset class out there is competing for the money. So which one is the best one to do? And as we pointed out earlier in the show, long term, it's always been the stock market. That's InvestTalk 101. I apologize for being complex, but it is a complex situation. If you have questions, please weigh in. I'll be happy to give you an answer if I can. 888-99-CHART.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Oscar from San Francisco. Just wondering, would you think about Disney at these prices? Would you be buying? Thank you very much. That's Disney, D-I-S. Thank you.
Now, if you don't know who Disney is, you don't live in the world. Simple as that. Walt Disney Company, operates theme parks, resorts, produces films, entertainment, licenses, toys, and books, and so on and so forth, on and on and on and on. They also own ABC and ESPN. Good, huge company, $172 billion company, good company. They are growing their sales and have been growing their sales between 5 and 10% every quarter forever. Earnings are going to be up 18% this year, then another 10% next year. And because of this strong growth over long periods of time, when a very good return on equity is 17%, good cash flow, not a great dividend, 1.3%, but because of that strong growth, it's going to be a little expensive. Their PE is 21, and with a five-year average of 11 to 25, it's $102. I would be a little patient simply because we're in a correction. You want to make sure the correction runs its course, but then you buy it. I think you wait and make sure it looks like it's done, you know, with its softness in trade, and it's possible that it is, but you might want to wait till it breaks above the 200-day moving average, which is about $105. I would like to see it above that before you buy. It's at $102 now, so it's not that far away. Just to make sure that we're on an uptrend, okay? If you have a question you want answered right now, we're here for you, 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now. This is InvestTalk. Philip in Pleasant Hill is next.
Are Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you've wondered just what a portfolio checkup is really all about, whether you do it yourself or ask Steve for help, it's a necessary exercise that should happen at least once a year. Well, tomorrow, after our regular podcast, if you'd like to continue listening, Steve will describe the various elements of this process. That's right after tomorrow's regular podcast.
Okay, let's go to Philip in Pleasant Hill. How you doing, Philip?
Pretty good, Steve.
Hey,
I wanted to ask you. Good. Wanted to ask you about AmeriGas.
Okay.
A is an apple, P is a Peter, U is an ugly. I have a small position there. I'm in my mid-60s, and I wonder what you thought about using that as a piece for, long-term income-producing revenue.
Okay, you got to be careful here. It's a $4 billion company, AmeriGas Partners, in a master limited partnership engaged in retail propane distribution through 2,000 locations. The reason why I say you have to be careful here, they're paying an 8.5% yield. And that's why you buy these things, these MLPs, because you want that yield. And they're $43 stock. Well, 8.5% on $43 is $3.66. So that's what they say they're going to pay you in dividend per share per year. But they've never made $3.66 a share ever. They're going to make $2.89 next year, $2.39 this year, $1.89 last year, $2.14 the year before. So how are they paying $3.66 or 8.5% when they don't make that much money? See, this is where you have to be careful. They do have enough cash flow,
okay,
but they've been issuing shares for the last few years, more and more shares, giving them the cash to pay you. So their cash flow is coming through other than their operations. Cash flow is coming because they're issuing shares. Sales are going down 22% this last quarter, 26% the quarter before that. This is why I say, Philip, you got to be a little careful here. I'm not saying that they're a good, strong company and they probably will stay in business, but I don't know. They even increased dividends just recently in June. But I'm not sure how they can keep that up. How do they keep that up? Well, they're keeping it up by issuing more shares of stocks instead of getting it through their earnings and paying you a dividend from their earnings. Be very careful. Okay? Thanks, Philip.
Is there an easy way to look for trouble?
Yeah. See if they issue more shares or take on more debt. That's the thing you want to watch out. More shares is a red flag. They cannot keep that up forever. They're diluting you, and they're giving you more money back with money you're giving them. Think about more, but they're issuing shares, so all those share guys that got the shares paid them $43 a share, and then they take that $43 and give it back to them in the form of a dividend because that's the only way they can keep it up. It's a pyramid scheme that can't last. Okay? Thanks for the call, Philip. Appreciate it. Let's go to George in San Jose. How are you doing, George?
Hi, Steve.
Thanks for
taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just curious. I'm chomping at the bit. I want to buy back into the market. When can I do that?
Okay, not yet. I know it can get frustrating.
I'm sitting on 30% cash. I want to buy something.
Well, you realize that I'm sitting on the same amount of cash in my stock accounts for my clients, 30%. Not yet. Uh-oh. It looks like the market wants to retest the lows it made in August. If it holds those lows sometime in the next few weeks and starts back up, I'll give you a green light to put some money back to work. Okay? Now,
okay.
If it breaks above the most recent high it made, 5 days ago, if it breaks above that and doesn't retest the lows anymore, then you have a green light to go ahead and buy some stock. But not yet. Not yet. Okay? I will actually say, George, if you listen to the radio show, I will tell people every day, you know, when I think it's time to start putting money back to work. Okay? So thanks for the call, George. Appreciate that. Before we close for the hour, there are many chart patterns that investors and traders can use to identify likely moves in the market. We have some chart lessons if you'd like to learn more. These are available to all InvestTalk insiders. Join up for free on InvestTalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.